In today's interview, you will hear statements which are considered controversial opinions. These statements are not necessarily the views of CWS, Christian Writing and Speaking, but they are the expressed opinions of the interviewee. On our podcast, we give everyone an opportunity to share what their position is. Then we provide the audience an opportunity to decide how they wish to view the matters. As always, when listening, allow the Holy Spirit to guide you and your thoughts. Welcome to CWS Christian Writing and Speaking. I'm your host, Jackie Wilson. And today's guest was born in Detroit, Michigan in 1966 to parents fighting for the civil rights movement. He says his life is a combination of the Rocky story, Think and Grow Rich, and the Celestine Prophecy on steroids. He has been through many harrowing and intense situations. He has overcome dyslexia, other learning disabilities, being legally blind in one eye, and being bullied throughout his childhood. But today, he is an inspirational speaker, trainer, and coach who specializes in helping athletes, entertainers, entrepreneurs, executives, and other leaders to become their best in all areas of life while making a more significant, positive impact on our world. Let's welcome to the CWS stage, Mr. Andrew Caldarella.
Thank you so much, Jackie. Honored to be here. Thank you, everybody, for joining us.
Yeah, Andrew, thank you so much for being here. And we were briefly talking before I hit record, and we're just talking about some of the things that are going on in this world today and certain concerns. But before we jump into that, we got to hear your story. What brought you here? One of the things I did not mention in your introduction is that you actually have a degree in religious studies and you have some views about, you know, where we are today. But how did you get to this point in your life?
Sure. As you mentioned, I had a challenging childhood, being bullied a lot, struggled just trying to socialize with people normally, and had issues with suicide. And, you know, it was challenging. At the same time, though, I was also very connected with God. I've always been very spiritual. I had a lot of spiritual experiences in my life. And it kind of led me down this path to find the living God, not worshiping a book or trying to find God in the words in a book, but literally like, where are you? And let's have a conversation. And that's kind of where it all started as a kid. And I, you know, had, like I said, some spiritual experiences that kind of led me down this path to find the real answers on how we can all become the best people we can be, create a better world and honor God at all at the same time. And that's where, this is where I am now. I've written my first book. There's three books in this series, and I'm out sharing the word that I have found with people and trying to help everybody lift themselves up and become better people.
Yeah. You talk about these spiritual experiences. Do you mind sharing one of them with us?
Sure. I'll share one that happened to me when I was a little kid, and it's happened numerous times. I had this friend, like, you know, a spiritual friend, as I say, you know, remember Casper the ghost? He was bullied and, you know, always wanted friends. And I kind of identified with him. So in my dreams or waking visions, I don't know what you would call it, I would hang out with him and take me places. And one time he took me to this place where, like, all of humanity was standing. And I was standing in front of this wall with this wonderful, beautiful gate in front of me. And I'm standing there and he said, just wait. And I'm standing there, I'm waiting, and then the gates open. And again, I was raised Christian and Catholic. So when God walked out of this gate, it was the personification of what the Christian religion, you know, the old man. But he was wearing these overalls, but he was buff too. I mean, he looked old, but he didn't look ancient. You know what I mean? He looked healthy and strong. And as soon as he opened the gate and he walked out, people around me started freaking out. People went down to their knees, they were praying, people were running, freaking out. And I stood there and I looked at him, and God asked me, he's like, are you not afraid? And I said something like, should I be? He laughed. And anyway, so we walk into this garden, and I get to spend an hour describing this garden, but it was like everywhere you looked was like the perfect scene, and it kind of always kept changing. So you never lost interest in looking at it, from birds and butterflies and bears and everything you can imagine. Anyway, so we walk to this garden, we walk to this bench, and we sit down. And at this point in my life, I was probably in third or fourth grade and being bullied a lot, almost drowned. I mean, called stupid every day. Even teachers called me, told me I was too stupid to learn anything. I should drop out of school. And I was really, my sister also had a lot of problems. She was had numerous operations, almost died. I saw so many horrible things happen to kids in these hospitals. And so I was like, God, why are you doing all this to us? Why are you, hurting us? And, why don't you just fix everything and make it good? Something like that. And God was like, I'm not hurting you. Most of the ills that are happening to humanity are done by other humans, but this is also a challenge for you to stand up and be good. I can't make you good. Otherwise you'd just be puppets, right? You have to choose to be good. There has to be good and evil. And again, when I was a little kid, I'm paraphrasing what I heard, but it was when God speaks, it's like a huge dump in 1 second. Like you get all of it. You know what I mean? It was like, okay, I understand. I can see what he was saying. And then as a little kid, this kind of stayed with me, obviously. And I had other experiences. And in church, I would always ask the priest these questions, like, why are we giving our faith to you, the Holy Roman Catholic Church, instead of to God? And, all these kind of things. And it just didn't seem like a lot of people were seeking the living God. Like they were more interested in worshiping a book and what the interpretation of what words said, you know what I mean? Instead of like the God that was alive. So anyway, I know that was a little long-winded there, but okay. That's kind of like one of the starting points of this. And I've always, my mom got me this cross when I was a kid, bless. And I don't know, it's always stayed with me. And it's not that God is the God of all of us. And that's the thing I want people to understand. It's not like God is just the God of Christians. There's only one God, the creator God. And it's the religions that try to interpret this. There's flaws in our religions and you have to see them. You can't just accept everything because that'll just lead us down the horrible path we've been down before with like the Crusades and the Inquisition and all this hate, that can come up through feeling super superior to others. I mean, it's just, we can just look at human history and you can see what I'm talking about. Does it make sense?
Yeah. And so you wrote this book, The Way, because you do want to show people a different way. Can you tell us a little bit more about your book?
Yeah. Now this book, just people know, so I'm a dyslexic and so writing is way challenging. And I've been collecting this stuff since I was a kid. In 2015, I had this major breakthrough. I was sorting out the beginning and the ending of this major work I call the Four Pillars. And it's, self, society, universe, and God. And in there, I kept finding these references to, this is key to true success. I put all these keys together. I found these seven. And it was like a secret code got unlocked. And I could see how I could explain all these golden threads I had found over these 30 years and put it in a context that people could understand. And I'd shared this with people all over the years, and they always said, yes, this is right. You got to share that. You got to share that. So I put it all in one book. And I think one of the biggest problems that we have as humans is that we need so much knowledge in so many different genres if we truly are going to be our best in physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, in your family, in your relationships, in society, and all the rest of the aspects of your life. That's almost impossible for everybody to find them. And all these bits of knowledge are like, a little bit here, a little bit there, and all these different books, and nobody can, spend all the time to find them all and realize them. So what I wanted to do is just find them all and put them in one place so that we can all get them and not be 50 years old going, wow, I wish I learned that when I was a kid, and so that we can all kind of step up and get on the same page, stand on a firm foundation and build a better world together, because that's what really all of religion is about, all of faith, all of raising kids, everything that our society is about is really about helping people become the best people they can be and creating a better world. And that's really the essence of what I'm trying to do here.
I think you hit on something that the Bible emphasizes, which is living peacefully with the others around you. And we're always going to encounter people that don't share the same beliefs, don't share the same politics, don't share the same idea about family. And I'm not supporting one over the other or anything like that. But what I am supporting is what God tells us to do as Christians, where we need to try to live peacefully as we can with other people. And I think that is an important aspect of our lives, where it will influence how we handle things with our family. It will influence how we handle things on our job or in other personal aspects of our lives. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I think one of the things that humanity's challenges is that we, you know, we look to our authority figures, our parents, our leaders in the political realm, news leaders, and we take what they say as truth, right? Because we're taught to, as a kid, to obey these people and think of them as our authority figures. So what's happened in our society, though, is that we have leaders that are not telling us the truth, are really looking to mislead us and manipulate us into getting us to do what they want. And you can look out, you know, all of human history, this happens over and over and over again. They play on our faith. They claim that they are part of us, and then they lead us down a dark path. And this has happened with leaders in our own church. I mean, just look at the popes that sent us to in the Crusades. I mean, it literally says, do not kill, do not steal. Yet they sent them down there to kill and steal all the people and, you know, the people and their belongings in their in Christ's homeland, the Inquisition. You know, right now we're facing this sickness of superiority is like infected all of our faiths, including Christianity. And like you mentioned, it's about peace. I mean, the king of peace, right? How do you get to hating people and wanting to kill people if you're following the king of peace, right? Mm. So I think that that idea is really true. And I think one of the things that we're missing is treating others as you want to be treated. You know, there's 10 laws in this book that I've discovered that will help us all become the best people we can be. And one of them is that golden rule, treating others as you want to be treated and seeing others as equals. And, you know, if you're going to throw mud and shade on people and call them stupid, they're never going to listen to you. They're never going to turn. They're just going to hate you and walk away from you. So as Christians, if you really want to bring people into the light, we all have to stop all of this pointing our fingers, feeling all superior, and judging people and making them feel stupid and everything. We need to help them. Our faith cannot just make us blind servants to God. We have a conscience. We have the ability to think and reason. These were given to us for a reason. You can't read a book and just say, well, I'm just going to do what that says if it goes against your morality. You know what I mean? It's like slavery was, you know, in the Bible as something that people did. And you can't see the children of God, which is all of us. You know, we're all created in the image of God, and then just selectively take a group of people and make them lesser. You know what I mean? This is, I think, the challenge of our faith. We have built-in flaws for us to overcome. And that's true with our own lives and our society. And that's when we talk about Christians rising up and taking their rightful place in the world, the same with all religions, this idea of the meek inheriting the earth can be interpreted as the good people, you know, raising up to their good side and taking control of the planet. And this idea of good people taking control is like, it's not the Christian people pointing their fingers and taking over, it's rising everybody up to the good side and realizing that the virtues of what it is to be human and integrating those into their lives, but into our society as a whole. And I talk about how to do that. I also break down all the details on how to do that within the book too. So
yeah, hopefully that makes sense. Yeah, it does. And I think one of the problems is saying who's good and who's not, because, you know, I heard someone say there's good in everybody. And there are some bad in everybody. And all of us do have flaws. And like you said, nobody is superior to the next person. That is how we maintain our humility, understanding we're all here by God's grace, that we did not create ourselves, that he literally took dust, created us, blew into the nostrils, and life became. That is who we are. And then when we pass away, we actually go back to dust. So I think you're really hitting on some high points. And I think it's definitely a challenge for people to start thinking about what it is that you're doing. God did not make us blind servants. He made us people who can think for ourselves. Yeah. But as we talked about prior to the recording, you know, there's a lot of issue of assimilation, of wanting to be like the next person so you don't feel left out. But my viewpoint is when I look at Psalm 139:14, and I think about how God created me, you know, he created me respectfully, wonderfully. He created me to be this unique, masterful individual, this person, this piece of art to go and to glorify him in all the ways that he has called me to. And all of us are going to be different. And we all have something great to contribute, no matter who we are. It is just a matter of finding what it is that's inside of us that God has, what for what purpose God has created us for, and go out and do that.
Yeah. Well, the first purpose, the primary purpose I talk about that is for you to become the best person you can possibly be and help to create a better world. And that truth, that golden thread, shows up in the Bible. It shows up in all of our faiths and pretty much in just the human idea of what we want to do for our kids, right? Is help them become the best people they can be, live these wonderful lives, and help create a better world. I think that idea is at the core of everything. Where people get confused is where we try to, you know, look at how do we do this then, right? So the Bible is really a history. It's not really a guide on step by step on how you can be your best. And I think that that's what God inspired me to do, you know, is to bring this truth to the world so that people have a better shot at doing these things, because there's so many little things. If you add them up together, it creates a much bigger thing, much greater than the sum of its parts. And that's what the way is. Every time I showed it to people and the solutions in there, they were like blown away by it. And I have been on over 70 shows now explaining these truths. And, you know, people read the book and they kept coming back to me and keep telling me that this is the way. And it's not Andrew's way. This is the way for humanity to rise up and become the best people we can be. I think in Christianity, there are some leaders, you know, with every group, I don't care what it is, political, Christian, Muslim, whatever, it's the most fanatical people that often become the leaders of the group. And you can see that's what's happened to Christianity throughout the ages, is that some leader came up. That's why it's fractured so many times. We have so many different sects of Christianity that, you know, it's like you even have Christians killing one another, you know, the Protestants and the Catholics, like, you know, I mean, the burning down Catholic or Christian churches by other Christians. Like, this doesn't make any sense, right? It's because they get this groupthink going on, and the leader that they're following is telling them that they are better than these other people. But then they fill them with this hatred that has them go out and do these evil acts. And all I can say is, look, if you're in any type of church and your faith is making you hate, you're probably being misled, because the whole goal of Christianity is to spread the word, right? You're not going to do that through hatred. Right? You're going to do that through love. And it's through understanding. It's through realizing the flaws in our faith and overcoming them that will allow the Christian faith to really rise. And for me, it's like, I see so many of these leaders that we follow in the Christian faiths and others that are really more book worshipers than they are knowing the living God and in touch with the morality and their conscience and their thinking and everything else. It's like they just revert to the words in the book. And if you don't realize this, it was written in ancient Aramaic. There was no printing press back then. So it was all hand copy and changed over and over again by leaders in the church who wanted it to say something else, and then translated to other languages who also changed the meaning of this. We also have to realize it wasn't written by Christ. It was written and put together by men hundreds of years after he died. So there are books that were in it that are not in it now, and words that have been changed. So while it's a good book and there's definite learning and divine inspiration in there, it's still human creation, just like everything else. It's flawed. So for me, it's like, I think to be true Christians, we have to realize that our faith and we are flawed, and to look out for these flaws and to overcome them. And not just, like I said, like we talked earlier, not just be some blind follower that does whatever some leader tells us, thinking we're honoring God. That is not honoring God. God does not want us to be sheep. You know, wouldn't have created us this way in a world of good and evil and choice and free will and everything else if that were the case. So hopefully that makes sense. Hopefully I'm not making too many people angry out there.
Well, I don't think it's about making people angry. You're sharing your perspective, and while I agree with some, I do disagree with part of your perspective. I don't think it is just a historical book. Yes, it certainly aligns with history and lets us know what happened, why it happened, and why it's important for us to be in alignment with God. I do believe that the Bible itself is, in fact, God inspired, even though men wrote it out. No, we don't have God writing the Ten Commandments out for us on the mountaintop. But it is, in fact, that it is God
It's
inspired.
inspired. Yeah,
And
I believe it.
also, you know, it's not just words in a book, because I can just say for myself that I utilize the words in the Bible and it is active. And my faith is very active because of my study of the Bible. And I've seen God manifest in my life because I rely on his word and I activate his word. And when you talk about it not being a God, I don't agree with that aspect of, because
I
when
didn't
I
say
think
that. I
about,
said that it is inspired by God. It is a history, meaning it literally, like the first book was written as a history for the Jewish people and whatnot. So I'm not saying that it's not inspired by God and it's not a book. I'm just saying that we have to also take, like you did, you took that word into yourself and it manifested in your life as something positive, right?
Yeah, and
so
I look
you
at
didn't
like
just take,
love, what
yeah,
love
exactly.
is. Love
Right,
is
but there's some people
patient,
taking
love
out
is
of the book,
kind.
they're taking hate out of that book,
Yeah.
right? So that's what I guess I'm saying. You can take out of the book goodness and have it realized in your worth. And like you said, that is inspired by God. But I think the flaws were put in there on purpose, being inspired by God for us as a challenge. You know what I mean? Like, God does not want us to be puppets. So if you put a flaw somewhere that you have to see and overcome, it makes you a stronger person, right? Because if you just blindly follow somebody that's misleading you, and again, just look at the Crusades. I mean, literally like millions and millions of people were under the delusion that going down to Christ's homeland and killing everybody and stealing their stuff and their land and everything was the righteous thing to do. I can't even really comprehend how a Christian, like a leader, could be like, yeah, let's go kill and steal. I mean, it literally like says you should
maybe
not
they're
do
not
that.
truly a Christian then.
Well, that's what I'm saying to you. So,
and
like,
that's why you have to read it for yourself and apply the word for yourself. You have to get into it and you have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you in that. That is
exactly.
how you will grow as a person. That is how you will even having a vision that you had as a child. That is not something that we can create as humans. That's only something God, the Holy Spirit, can allow to happen in our lives. I think the problem is who we look up to and who we call leaders. And I have my very simple solution to this is when people are talking about, well, he's a Christian, and the Bible clearly says, you shall know them by the fruit they produce. So I start looking at the fruit, and that tells me everything I need to know about the person, not what they're putting out front, but what they're actually doing. How are people feeling around them? Are they uncomfortable? What are they saying from the pulpits? And if it's not love and it is hate, and I know one big controversial issue is always abortion and people burning down. They talk about Christians burning down abortion clinics. That's absolutely wrong. You are wrong for that, because you have become judge and jury, and that's not the position God put you in. God put us in a position to love other people, but we have to be very conscious about who we are calling our leaders, and we have to have the ability to think for ourselves. I think a lot of people follow along because they think this would be easier, but who are you as an individual?
Exactly.
Exactly.
And I think that God doesn't want us always to take the easy path. I think the easy path sometimes is the wrong path, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
Jesus was not a follower, right? He didn't go around and just do everything everybody said and listen to him. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, it was challenging the falseness, right, that made Christ Christ. It was challenging the leadership of his own faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even going far as to throwing out the money changers and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's we as Christians, I think over the many, I really think the problem in Christianity happened when the Roman emperors kind of took over the church. And, you know, that's where we get, you know, molesting of children and all this kind of stuff, because the Romans were into that kind of stuff. And it kind of tainted the church and made it this superior kingship type of thing. I mean, you look at the popes throughout history, they became like emperors, right? Ruling over all of the nations of Christendom in Europe and whatnot. And I don't believe that that was the the goal of Christ, right, was to really open the hearts of men. I mean, he was into talking about the problems of society, food, medical, problems of rich and poor, all these issues of society. And I really believe if they would have taken the words of Christ and thought about what he was talking about, the whole Christian faith would have been different. It would have been about like literally a, like a research facility on how to fix the problems of the world and, you know, where we can get together as a community and fix the problems in our community and all this kind of stuff. Not just a place to go to once a week, you know what I mean? And build this multi-million dollar building that nobody uses for anything else. It just, like I said, my faith in my understanding and my relationship with Christ and God is just showing me that like the humanity, we're just a little broken, right? We need to like a chiropractic adjustment to stand up straight. And Christianity is one of those faiths where the goodness is there. And we have so many good people in the world that are ready to honor Christ and everything else. And it's like, so why over the last 2000 years, hasn't the world gotten better and better and better? If that's the case, it's because the word of Christ isn't really being lived in the church, right? It's not being taught. It's being, it's certainly in the book and they talk about it, but it's not being lived, in my opinion. If it were, we wouldn't have 1,000 different sects of Christianity that are literally burning down each other's churches and things, right? It would be loving one another, creating a better world, seeing each other as equals, helping each other, fixing the problems in society and not pointing your finger at everybody and everything else that we've seen over the last 2,000 years. So I think that if Christianity is to really wake up to its potential, I think we need to throw off this idea that we're superior to everybody else. We are equal to everybody else. We may know the word, but it's about sharing the word and loving people and not ostracizing and, you know, dividing us into this us versus them type of reality that we've seen throughout all of human history. And it's like I said, we're repeating it again right now. You know, and especially in America, you can see Christian leaders trying to take us backwards to the days of, you know, Christians ruling the world with the iron thumb and fist and everything else. And I don't know, that's just not the Christianity I know and love. I mean, that's not what God showed me we could be. So,
yeah, I think it's an individual challenge. Every person has to pause, look at their life and ask themselves whether or not it is lining up with the word of God or what God is saying we should be. I don't think everybody is sitting down and or everybody is scared to stand up to the leaders. I just think it's a matter of the right people being in position. And absolutely, we are not superior to anybody else. We were all here, put here, created to serve a purpose here on earth. God did not make anybody better than the next person, but it is about, like, I think what you said in the beginning, which is how can I become the best version of myself that God has called me to be? But you'll never know, truly know what that is unless you seek God. And part of seeking God is, you know, looking at his word, applying it to your life and moving in that in every aspect of your life. You can't, and the biggest problem I think I see is an issue of control. Why are we seeing so much downfall? Why are we seeing the thing? Because people are trying to control other people. It's the same thing that we have seen repeatedly throughout history, as you have pointed out. But how about we start with controlling ourselves? Start with that. Self-control is a fruit of the spirit. Start controlling ourselves. Stay in our business, stay out of other people's business. And as we do what we're supposed to do, the world will become a better place. Andrew, tell me what's next for you.
So much to talk about what you just said. I just want to say that is covered in the book, Self-Control, and all of what you're talking about. What's next for me is really I've given up everything else in my life to try to help spread the word as far as, you know, how we can become the best people we can be and fix our world and become, you know, better stewards and at one with God. And so for me, I'm trying to make the ideas in the way common knowledge. I'm doing videos, trainings, all sorts of stuff. I've kind of put my other businesses on the back burner to pursue this. So what I'm trying to do is figure out how I can do this. You know, it's like I've been challenged, as a lot of people have, in this virus time to take care of my mom, who's elderly. My dad passed away, and you know, finances, not like I'm a super multimillionaire to go out there and just do anything he wants. So I need to find funding and everything else to get this word out there. It I guess for me, it makes me a little sad because every time I share these solutions with people on literally how you can do these things, they love it. And I feel like I'm not helping the world as much as I could be if I had more, I don't know, wealth or power or fame or something. So not that I want that for myself. I want it to be able to get these word out there because there's so much suffering in the world that just is caused by us that doesn't need to be. I mean, there's just a few leaders, 100 companies and a few leaders in the world that are really messing things up for all of us. And I believe that we have the power to fix the world right now, like we've never had in all of human history, because more people are connected than ever before. We have resources. More people are awake to the wrongnesses of the world, which gives us a huge opportunity to fix it. As they say, people need to be burned to learn to sometimes make big changes. And I think we've all been burned enough at this point, at least enough of us to join together to make these changes. So I have the way and the one. The one is the one movement, the one tribe, the one party, which are groups that we can join within to become the best people we can be, but also make the changes in the world. I'm not sure how much time we have left. I could explain those or not. I don't know.
Yeah, well, we don't have much time, but can you tell people how they can connect with you?
Sure. The hub for everything is my website, 7wayme. That's the number 7way.me. And there you can find the links to all my social media, all the shows I've been on. You can learn about the way. You can join the one movement, one party, one tribe. And again, we're just getting started. We need all the help we can get. There's ways that you can support us. There's a whole list of things you can do if you're interested. And really just looking to meet good people and create a really good movement to help the world become a better place before it's too late. And I need all the help I can get.
Andrew, thank you so much. Thank you for your heart, because your heart is good. Your heart is in the right place. And I don't know anybody who truly want peace that would not want to work on projects that would help us get to that point. So thank you for your heart and for wanting to do this for the world. As we are closing out, do you have a final word for the audience?
Sure. I would like to say that don't lose hope. Okay, that I know there's a very dark times, but sometimes in the darkest moments, as I say, it's darkest before the dawn, that the greatest light can come. And I believe that this is the time, because there's so many people ready for it, that we are going to have a great awakening and the great changes can happen. They can happen today like no time in all of human history. So have hope. Don't be jaded. Don't close your mind. Don't think this is like something that's come before and dismiss it. It isn't. Anybody that's ever seen it has said it is new. So have hope, join with me, learn the way and the one, and let's make these changes and get it done before it's too late.
All right. Andrew, thank you so much for sharing with our audience today. Audience, there is a challenge there. We are individuals. God has given us the ability to think. How are you going to become the best version of yourself so that you can help change the world and make it better? Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. And until next time, beautiful people, God bless.